Thursday or Friday, I'm not sure which, I went out and bought something at one of the stores, and I paid for it with a $5 bill and a $2 bill. And when the young lady at the cash register saw that $2 bill, she had this really puzzled look on her face. And then she looked into her cash drawer, and I heard her say, kind of to herself, but yet loud enough that I could hear it, "I don't have a place for it." And then she gave me the change, and as I was turning to walk away, I heard her say, "Jefferson." Well, that's the image on the bill. And I don't know why she said it, but I kind of had this thought in my mind, is she questioning why Jefferson got such a little-known bill for his picture? You know, we can tell from the gospel reading today that the image of political figures has been on our money for years, way back at the time of Christ. Now, they did it a little different than we do it. Back in that time, it seems it was the guy in power that had his picture on the coin. We tend to do it the other way. You know, we don't expect George W.'s picture to be on a bill anytime soon, do we? Or even Clinton. Or, depending on who wins, we don't expect to see Obama's picture or McCain's picture on any bills. We wait. We wait till they're long gone. And then we pick a few of them. We put their picture on our money, on our bills. But you know, it really don't matter much who's there. It all achieves the same thing, you know. You take the money, you buy what you need, and you go on. It all works no matter whose picture is there. But there is an image that is very important. But it's not an image that's been stamped on some coin or printed on some piece of money. It's the image that has been stamped on each one of us. In the book of Genesis, it says, "In the divine image, he created them." Then there's really another interesting line. It says, "Male and female, he created them." We almost wonder why those two lines, those two thoughts, got put together. In the divine image, he created them, male and female, he created them. Pope John Paul II apparently pondered that association very much. And he taught that in some way we are most in the image of God in the union of male and female. That in that oneness of man and woman in marriage, they reflect the oneness of the God who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. And in their giving new life, they reflect how the Spirit comes forth from the love of the Father and the Son. And so that our maleness and our femaleness have a very special capacity to reflect the image of God. And if we want to really see the image of God, then we need to look at marriages. Marriages in which two have truly become one. And there, in a very special way, God will be revealed. Now, it should not surprise us that Satan and the powers of evil want to attack this relationship, which most clearly manifests the image of God. Because when you can take what is best and you can destroy it, you have the power to corrupt in an overwhelming way. When you can take that which most reflects the image of God and use it in inappropriate ways, you can do great harm to persons and societies. But when that maleness and femaleness comes together in committed love, in permanent love, in exclusive love, in life-giving love, it has a power to reflect to the world the reality of our God, who is Father, who is Son, who is Spirit. Our God, who St. John teaches us in his first letter, is love. That's why the institution of marriage is such an important thing, such a valuable thing to us, because it speaks to us more powerful than anything else, the reality of God's image. And when we use that gift of sexuality in ways that are selfish, in ways that use and abuse another person, in ways that manipulate and control, we destroy the image of God within ourselves, and we destroy the dignity of that other person. Now, the gospel reading today speaks about rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And we who have been created in the divine image, we can learn from this that we have responsibilities in the civic, political world in which we live. We who are in the divine image need to manifest that image in the world around us. One of the obligations we have as people involved in the civic world is the obligation to obey lawful authority, to respect lawful authority. And as odious as it may be, we even have the obligation to support them with our taxes. But something that's coming up very quick is our obligation to vote. That is another serious obligation that we have. We have the obligation to take the values that are ours as a Christian people, the values that come to us from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let them impact what we do when we go into the voting booth. We're not being responsible Christians when we vote only that which is best for our bank account. We're not being responsible Christians when we vote because we're members of this party or that party. We have to take our values with us and let those values be manifested in how we vote. This year, some of those very important issues are relevant. There's issues about the dignity of human life, There's issues about the dignity of marriage and human sexuality. There's issues of justice and peace. We must ponder prayerfully all these issues as we go to the voting poll. And we must try to decide which of the many candidates are going to best help build up that image of God in the human society in our world today. And we have to try to vote accordingly. I want to remind all of us of the dignity that is ours as sons and daughters of God, and how that dignity has to be built in our society, in our world. And we have responsibility to do that in many ways. As I said earlier, how we use our sexuality, but also then how we go out into the society in which we live, the values we promote, the people we vote for. We are created in the image of God. May we form the world in which we live in God's image.